That's fine. While they're looking at that, if you would, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And let me say congratulations to each of you that are a parent and for being blessed with a child, because we know that children are what? They're a gift from God, aren't they? We like to say they're our children, my children, but you know, without God intervening, we would have no children, because God is the giver of life. God is the one that has blessed us and has given them to us. But for those of us that are parents, I think you've probably figured out by now, one of the most difficult things to do is to rear children. Or to rear them properly. Maybe we should add that in there, right? There's a lot of junk out there today, isn't there? And we have to be very careful what we read, what we follow, what we subscribe to. And Scripture gives us some help if we will follow it. And we find several principles in Scripture and that will help guide us along. And a few things I'd like to share with you tonight and try to encourage you. We will start in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And so my very first question, if you're not in here normally on Wednesday night, I ask questions and they're not, most of the time they are not rhetorical questions. I try to get some input back from you. So is this only relevant to fathers? Yes or no? Okay, some of you said no. And I would say exactly no. Fathers are responsible for this, but we find in Deuteronomy that the command is that, you know, as Moses is teaching, as Moses is giving instructions to the congregation, it wasn't just to the men, it was to all the congregation. He says what? You shall teach them. You shall teach these principles that he's just given them diligently to your children. And he says, you talk of them when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. All the time, we are constantly to be putting Scripture and scriptural principles into our children's lives and looking for any circumstance, any way in which to do that. And so it's very important that from the very beginning, we understand that all of us are responsible in the nurturing, in the discipline, in the upbringing of our children. So let's look at a few principles that we find from the Word of God. First and foremost, I would say children need to learn to obey. Children need to obey. All right, and that's really not an optional thing. And if you look around in society today, you find that for many parents, it seems like that's an option. You know, you see them at the mall, you see them in restaurants, as you're out and about, you know, you see parents telling their children one thing and they're doing the exact opposite. And nothing happens. But children need to obey. Why would we make that the very first thing? Why should that be kind of like the number one principle that we instill within our children from just the youngest age possible? What? Structure. Why else? Safety. Respect. Just the respect of that. All right, it establishes a principle that if they learn to obey you as this authority that they see as a young child, that at some point, the goal of parenting, you know, let's be honest, the goal of us as parents is to one day be able to pass our children off, either to be married or to go out on their own, and at that point realize, you know what, mom and dad aren't here any longer, but you know what, I have a heavenly Father that is. God the Father, now I answer to Him. Now, yes, I still might honor my mother and father as I'm commanded to do, but I don't have to obey them. I have two grown daughters, 23 and 25. They don't have to obey me any longer. They're commanded to honor me and to respect me. But, you know, if I call them up and say, hey, take your trash out, she can go, oh, sure, Dad, whatever, and hang up and not do it. You know, Heather, you need to clean your bedroom. You know, she'd be like, what do you, you know, leave me alone. I don't, you know, whatever. But the idea of instilling within them the obedience is going to carry forward for their whole lives to the point where they realize the importance that I have to obey God. I have to obey the commands in Scripture. These things aren't optional for me. And we should start doing that as early as possible. From infants, from babies. Teaching them to obey and instilling that within them. Number two, children need to listen and to be heard. Now, I think for all of us, we would understand, you know, yes, I understand I want my child to listen. And we strive to make them listen to us as best we can. But why is it so important for them also to be heard? Because a lot of times we focus on listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. But we don't focus so much on the fact that they need to be heard as well. And both of those things rest on the shoulder of us as parents. You know, it's our responsibility, yes, to make sure that my child is listening to me and that they understand what I'm saying to them. And whether that means that whatever I say to them, I say, now, what did you hear me say? And make them repeat it back to me to make sure that, okay, yes, we're communicating. Yes, you heard all of it, not just a little piece of it. But we must also flip that coin over and realize that as a parent, our children need us to hear them. They need to be heard. Okay? This scenario, which one is good, which one's not so good? All right? Hopefully you understand the top left one's not so good. All right? The little boy's sitting there trying to, you know, apparently he wants to talk to his dad. His dad's so busy and engrossed in his phone, he doesn't have time for his child. He's not listening to him. You know, the other picture, they're there. They're talking. They're communicating. They're taking time to hear what their child is sharing, what their child is going through. And that is so important that you take time out of your day, whether it's when they go to bed at night and you go in their bedroom and just kneel beside the bed or sit on the side of the bed and ask, hey, what happened today? What took place today? How are you feeling? What's going on in your life? Whether it's at the dinner table, whenever that time is for you, it's so important that you hear your children, that you allow them to share with you, and that they have your full attention so that they know that they are being heard. Then thirdly, children need patience and to be understood. And it takes patience sometimes to truly understand them, doesn't it? But we have to be patient with them. You know, we forget at times that they are children. That sometimes they're not going to do what we want them to do the first time around. And so, yes, we are going to, as parents, we should take steps to correct that. But part of that correction, part of those steps, is being patient. And again, what are we modeling when we are patient with our children, when we strive to strive to understand them and be patient with them? We're emulating God with us, aren't we? God is patient. God is long-suffering. God is willing to work with us and continue working with us. And sometimes as we fail a lesson, as we fail in life, He just brings it back around again and again until we learn that. And so be patient with your children, because they need that patience. They need you to just really, even building upon listening and to them and hearing them. Sometimes we just need to set everything else aside and just focus on them and be patient with them to hear what they have to say. And then number four, children need boundaries and discipline. And we've got to remember that those two things go together. They need boundaries and they need discipline. What is the purpose of boundaries? I would say two major things that I'm looking for. Yes. All right, protection. All right, what would the other one be? Limits. I would kind of lump those two together. All right, what else would you find within a boundary on a positive side? That what? Exactly. You have complete freedom within the boundaries. You know, when you When you put a fence out in your yard, all right, part of that is to say, okay, this is my area, and I'm trying to keep anything bad from coming in. But I'm also saying, you know what, within my yard, if you have a dog or a child or whatever, you know what, you can go out, you can just play and have a blast. Just stay within the fence. You know, within that fence, within that boundary, you have the freedom to just run and play and do whatever. And it's that protection, that freedom and protection that comes because of the boundaries. But there have to be consequences for crossing the boundary, right? We call that discipline. You know, and that's not the fun part. You know, we love the idea of I have the freedom and I have the potential of doing whatever within the boundary. But when I cross that boundary, there's got to be a punishment. There's got to be a discipline. There's got to be a structure in place that corrects that action. And again, why do we say that? Why is there that discipline? Because God disciplines his children when we cross the boundary. God gives us a lot of freedom. You know, as we read scripture, there's a lot that we can do. There's a lot that we are told to do. And within that boundaries, within that fenced area, there's a lot that God wants us to accomplish and to enjoy. But when we step outside that, he's going to discipline. He's going to bring us back in line because he knows what's best for us. He wants what's best for us. And the same is true with a parent that is striving to rear a godly child. They understand what is best for that child, and they understand what boundaries to impose upon them, how much they can trust them. And those boundaries are going to change from year to year. They're going to change from child to child. You know, some children are much more trustworthy, much more obedient. You can entrust them with more and allow them to do more. But we still have boundaries. We still have discipline. And then number five, children need to be trained. Children need to be trained. My sister, I think, sent me this. Maybe you might have seen it. I think it was on YouTube, obviously. All right, so this dog was trained to exercise with its owner. And if you watch the video, it's amazing. The dog knows all, you know, it's memorized all the exercises. And it can do all the things that the owner's doing. All the stretches and all the whatever she does. You know, the dog does every one of them with her. You know, knows when to raise his left leg or the right leg. And he's doing it all. What does it take to train a child, though? What are some, I thought of three things. Patience. All right, patience, time, love, consistency. A mentor,
setting the example,
food, treats. All right, good. The Bible. I would say prayer. You know what? Prayer has to be our number one thing. When you're training your child, you've got to bathe them in prayer. You can only do so much in your own ability. You know, your charismatic personality is only going to take you so far. Because most of our children don't really respect that within us. My wife plays piano, and she's tried to teach both our daughters piano, and as they were growing up, and they would learn, and you know, they got to a point where, you know, she would teach them something. No, Mom, that's not right. And, you know, okay. So then we allowed one of them to start taking piano lessons from another teacher, and she'd come home. Oh, you know, Mrs. Usher said this, and, you know, my Beth's going, yeah, it's what I said too. But, you know, okay, I'm not, you know, she knows, and I don't. But it takes, you know, the three things that are very important, I think, in all of what you said, but prayer. Time, just you've got to spend time with them, and then that practice, that repetition. of doing it over and over and over again with them. Making sure that they're doing it correctly. I grew up in the North, and we did not grow up having to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And that wasn't, I guess, something that you did in the North. But I remember when I first came to Fayetteville and started teaching the academy, you know, the students were required to say, yes, sir, no, sir. And it was something that I actually had to practice and learn to say back to them or listen so that when they didn't say it, to say it to them so they would repeat it back to me. And all of that was what? It was just that repetition, that instilling within them over and over and over again what response we want. And the reason for that was why? The respect that we wanted them to have. And then number six, children need to be challenged. Children need to be challenged. What areas do children need to be challenged in? All right, mental, all right? They need mental challenges. What else? What? Physical, yes. They need to go outside and play. You know, they can't just stay inside all the time and play video games or play on your phone or their phone or whatever. They need to go out and play. And have physical challenges. What else? Social. They need to interact with other children. All right, somebody over. One of the children had their hand up. Yes, sir.
Work.
Children need to be challenged to work. And again, I get that. When I was a child, when I was a boy, my dad planted a garden. And my mom, maybe you can correct me, but I really don't think he cared if anything grew out of the garden or not. The whole purpose of having the garden was so that my brother, my sister, and me had something to do. You know, and we went out and we weeded the garden. We took the pitchfork thing and turned the dirt, and he would help with that and help plant. But then we picked up rocks and we pulled weeds and we hoed and we did all that stuff. And it was just his way of teaching us to work and to work with our hands, to get out and get hot and sweaty and dirty and get work done. But we're losing that. As parents, we're losing the teaching of our children to work. And it's very evident in society today. I can't, we were at a restaurant the other night talking to one of the servers and asked why a couple restaurants were closed. And he said they're closed because they don't have any servers that'll show up and work. And he said, you know, if those, you know, those of us that are in the restaurant business, he said, you know, we've gone to, you know, nicer restaurants. And we were at Bonefish, you know, that's not like top of the line or anything. But he was like, you know, they're, you know, and he named six or eight restaurants in Fayetteville. And he said, you know, they're open because they can attract people to come and work for them. But he said, other restaurants that are closed, no one wants to work. And we could talk about that for quite a while. Because, you know, at church here, we call a lot of contractors trying to get work done. You know, I called a contractor about getting an awning replaced over at the school. And he, you know, his first question was, when do you need it by? And I said, well, like, when would you be able to get it done? He said, you know, I said, August 1st? You know, I was like, you know, we're starting school in August. Could you at least get it in by then? He said, I can give you like a 90% yes on that. But he said, I don't have anybody to help me work. You know, he said, it's me and one guy. And he said, I have more than I can handle. And he said, I have no one that wants to work for me. He said, they can stay home and collect more on unemployment than they can coming to work and do a job. So we need to challenge them to work. I saw this, one of my youth pastors when I was a teenager had posted something on Facebook. And I saw it last night, and I just thought, wow, how good is that? It says, a child that has been coddled, protected, and given everything he or she wants develops a mentality of, I have the right. and they will always put himself or herself first, ignoring the efforts of parents, family, and friends. If we are this type of protective parent, are we really showing love, or are we helping to destroy our children? And we need to ponder that. We need to think about that. Because I know a lot of times as parents, if you grew up with hardship or you grew up one way, the idea is, well, I want my child to have something better and I don't want them to struggle. I don't want them to hurt. But you know what? Sometimes those struggles and those hurts are necessary and they need to go through them in order to succeed in life. And so you've got to determine that. You've got to examine that for you and for your children. And then lastly, my time is running out. Children need unconditional love. Children need unconditional love. They need to know that you love them no matter what. Now, that doesn't mean that you will allow anything to get by and that there is no consequence for their action, but they need to know that you have unconditional love for them. As parents, we must emulate God's love for us to them. And they've got to see that. We must ensure that our love is known, that they know that we love them, that we're showing it to them, that we are doing everything possible for them to understand what true love is. Because at some point, again, our goal is for them to understand the love that God has for them. And we want our love to be that impetus, that foregoing knowledge that they see in us to now realize, you know what, God loves me even more than mom and dad do. And so let's wrap up. As parents, we have to understand that we are God's stewards that have been given the responsibility to lead and train the gifts of life. These little boys and girls that are created in the image of God. And he's chosen us. He's entrusted them with us. And it's our goal, it's our responsibility to steward them, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we need to do that with care and with wisdom and with godly fear, realizing, you know what, we're going to be held accountable for how we handled those children and for what we did with them, with the time that we were given with them. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessing of children. Thank you for entrusting those of us with them. I pray that you would continue to bless and give wisdom. I pray for those that desire to have children, that you would bless them, that you would provide children for them. And I know that for new parents, it's a scary thing to think and ponder about bringing a child into the world, and yet that is your plan, and you have commanded us to be fruitful and to multiply, and then to teach our children, to train our children, and to point them to you.